And you see this big hurricane rolling into the coast down in North Carolina, and it makes you think a little about the environment. So it's a good day to have Steve Morris from the Minnesota Environmental Partnership on. And of course, you can learn all about this over at mepartnership.org. Hey, Steve.
How are you doing today, Doug?
Oh, it's been a heck of a day, as they say up north. But I'm glad to be talking to you, my friend.
It's almost like summer today.
That's a very summery day. I got a big project I'm working on right now, Steve, this thing called Vote Common Good. We're coming here to the Twin Cities October 10th, going to be in Richfield at Veterans Park. And it's a big tour trying to get people to vote for the common good in the November 6th election. And we're doing this all over the country. And it's a great event. It's a big bus tour that I'm going to be on going around. And but anyway, my head's been in that
fantastic.
All day long.
Fantastic.
Yeah, super excited.
Getting people to vote for the common good is what it's all about. If we did
wouldn't
more of that,
think?
We wouldn't
yeah.
be battling all these environmental issues.
And there's a lot of people who just vote their reflexive party impulses. And there's a lot of Republicans right now who know that their conscience and their sense of well-being doesn't match their current party allegiance. And they're
right.
looking for a chance. They're looking for another narrative. They need a way out. And it's making change is a hard thing to do. And you know that because you're in the change-making business. So, in fact, we should set up a place over there for the Minnesota Environmental Partnership to have a little table or a little display for these people that show up.
Oh, that would be great. That'd be great. I don't know if any, you know, if any of our environmental member groups are there, but I know of the event. It's a great thing to do. But yeah, we'd love to participate if we could.
All right, well, I'll follow up with you about that after this, because I will go to mepartnership.org like everybody else will do, and send you a email at Steve Morse.
Absolutely.
There. All right. So, hey, what's going on with the feds up on our northern border of the Boundary Waters?
I think it's worth noting, you know, there are a lot of things going on, you know, all the time on climate and energy. And, you know, one of the things that happened here this past week was the Forest Service. And I'm sure some people heard something about this, but and we have these efforts to do these sulfide mines up in northern Minnesota, and the Polymet mine gets a lot of the press, and that one is in the permitting process, in the final stages, potentially, of the permitting process at the DNR. But the other one that's not as far along in the process is the Twin Metals mine proposal. And that one is in the BWCA watershed, right at the edge of the Boundary Waters Canoe Area Wilderness. And because of the concern of the impact that it would have to this great natural resource of ours, this federal wilderness area, the Obama administration put a two-year hold on mining development in that watershed. So this is all water that flows, you know, into the waters of the BWCA. And then they ordered a full environmental review and scientific study during that 2 years to see if they should withdraw this watershed from this type of really dangerous sulfide mining. And when the administration changed, and they started doing that shortly before the end of the Obama administration, and when the new Secretary of Agriculture was coming in and had their hearings in front of Congress, he specifically told Representative McCollum in an open congressional hearing that they were going to, you know, let the science continue and see this study through to the end, and he assured her it was going to be completed. And this is before Congress in testimony. And then, lo and behold, last week they just pulled the plug on it. They said 15 months in, by gosh, we're not learning anything, so we don't want to study the science. And
you're saying they made a commitment to follow the Obama administration era study pattern, and then 15 months in, they decided that there wasn't they didn't like the results they were getting, or they didn't think they were getting results, or their team wasn't interested in those results, and so they pulled the plug and are just going to approve it?
Exactly. I mean, what they're doing is right. They said, well, we don't need any more science. They changed their tune, and they just said, we're going to stop the study here in midstream. We're not going to finish it. And then what it means is that it really derails the effort to withdraw that watershed for the 20 years. And so what it does is it effectively puts this watershed of the BWCA into play for mining. And so now we're seeing the Twin Metal proposal ramping up and, you know, starting to move forward again in their process. And, you know, it's a big betrayal, and it also really puts at risk another watershed in Minnesota.
Now, Steve, I'll admit, I don't know a lot about mining. That seems like people that work hard for a living, and you know, I don't know the difference between one kind of mine and another. I know that there's always been mining in Minnesota. It's been a big part of the story of Minnesota and why we're here. Is there something about this sulfide mining? You mentioned that's different. What's different about what they're proposing to do now versus what's been going on for all these years? Because I think a lot of people hear and say, you know, how come they don't want to allow for, you know, mining in Minnesota? That's been a long held tradition. Why would we? Why now that why are those liberals coming in and trying to stop, you know, what's been happening for all these years in Minnesota?
Right.
Is there something different about sulfide mines?
It's not the traditional iron mining. So what's happened in Minnesota is we have been mining iron and iron ore up in northern Minnesota for many decades, as you say. And, you know, it's been tremendous for our economy and, you know, shipped around the world. But we also have these tremendously low-grade deposits of other types of metals. But they are resting in this sulfur containing deposits, and so it's called sulfide mining. And what happens when you mine these sulfide ores, first of all, if you get a very small percentage, less than 1% of the actual ore that you mine are the metals that you're looking for, so the copper, nickel, and other things. Right. So, you know, 99% plus of what you mine ends up as waste. And then because of its sulfur-bearing characteristics, the big difference is the acid. So you take this sulfide ore out of the ground, you grind it up, take out what you want, and then put 99% of it back, or stockpile it somewhere. What happens is when water mixes with that sulfur, that sulfide ore, it creates sulfuric acid. And that is really what makes this so different. I mean, when you mix water with iron, you get rust. When you mix water with the sulfide ores, you get acid. And that's what's called acid mine draining, and where every place it's been done, we have gotten water pollution, and sometimes really monumental crisis water pollution that's gone on for decades.
So if this toxifies the land and the water, and we know it, what is it that the PolyMet people or any of these mining companies, Twin Metals or any of the others, what do they say, or what was the Trump administration saying about this? Why would they say we don't need to study it anymore? Was their answer basically we know it pollutes the land and the water, and we're just comfortable with that?
Well, I mean, what they say, of course, is we'll manage it. You know, we will manage it. We'll have the technology. We'll have the resources. We'll take care of it so it doesn't escape out into the waterways. And you know, and that's a good theory. But you know, for example, for PolyMet, they're not using the newest and best practices. They're not even using the current best practices of the mining industry. They're using a very old, you know, 50-year-old tailings basin that they're going to build up, you know, 200 feet high. And you know, and where the mining industry is going is to save for methodologies that dewater the waste so that it's not in this big pool, for example. And so you know, what the companies say is that we will manage it. As we've heard so many times, and we've seen these mines and these dams fail around the country. We saw the Mount Polly big failure in Canada. You know, they'll control it until they can't or they don't. And you know, so what we've seen is every one of these mines has resulted in water pollution, and sometimes really catastrophic. And you know, so we're not saying this can't be done in any circumstances, but you know, if we're going to do this, we have to really hold these mines to the highest standards. And although we hear politicians talk about Minnesota having high standards, what people don't realize is that every year the mining industry comes in and weakens our standards and weakens our laws in some way, shape, or form. We've seen it year after year after year. So, you know, we do not have the highest standards. We have, you know, subgrade standards for mines on at least some of these characteristics. And you know, it's our opinion that it's just a question of when we get the contamination into our waters. If the PolyMet project in particular.
Yeah, if PolyMet or this Twin Metals goes forward, and there's the leakage that you're talking about, the toxification of the water and the land, if that truly happens, is that something that you know about immediately? Or is that the kind of thing that you really don't know it's happening at an unacceptable level for years or decades. So by the time you find out that it's in trouble, the pollution has reached to such a level that we're going to have a real catastrophe on our hands.
Well, I think it would depend on the circumstances. I think sometimes there are slow leaks, and we actually have one of these old mines up in northern Minnesota that's been doing a slow leak for many years. It's a very small, kind of almost a test operation. And other times there are catastrophic failures like Mount Polly, where the whole dam just burst open and flooded communities. But I think most of those surface water ones, you're going to see them relatively soon. It's just a question of how long it takes to develop. The risk for this goes on for hundreds of years. And so, they're talking about a 500-year plan to store these massive quantities, massive lakes of waste, and to say that nothing's going to happen over that time frame. To me, that seems unrealistic to think that we can, isolate them for that long. The other risk that we have is groundwater. And in that instance, with this toxic waste leaking into groundwater, that could happen. It could be some time before we identify that, although there would be wells to monitor that. But our confidence level is not super high.
I mean, your comment about the fact that the Obama administration era had said we're going to put restrictions on this until the reports are back, and then a new administration comes in and says, "Nah, we're actually not. We're gonna move ahead." Is really, I think, a sign of, if you say we have a plan in place to deal with this over the next, 500 years is a ridiculous number to say, but 100 years or 150 years. Think about all the people that are going to be in positions of decision making in the government and in the businesses that are operating these. You have no confidence that someone down the line is not going to say, "I know they used to worry about that, but we're not going to worry about that any longer." Exactly. So it just the idea that you could make a 500-year promise about how you're going to deal with toxified substances right on the edge of land and water just seems to defy a reasonable approach.
Yeah, seems to defy common sense. I absolutely agree. And so that's our concern with these projects, and it's really unfortunate that the Trump administration has just end run or cut off the scientific analysis and just says, "Oh, nope, this is okay. You can go ahead and do it." Now, that doesn't mean they're permitted, but it's just they're saying these lands are open for exploration and mining.
Yeah, it was supposed to prolong this. The process was to prolong the approval. And now if they cut short that process, it could hasten the approval.
Right.
Hey, that's Steve Morse from the Minnesota Environmental Partnership at mepartnership.org. Thank you, Steve.
Always good talking to you. Thanks for all your work.
Pleasure to speak to you, too. And we'll be back here after the break. Game 950, Progressive Voice of Minnesota.